We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 this evening. I think we heard a little bit about Peter this morning, and I think he's probably one of the most talked about disciples of Jesus. Let me share you a story about me cutting my grass one day. I like to get to the barn and get on a tool, a piece of equipment, and start it and go. Whether it's putting air in the tires or anything, it's unacceptable. So I just put new tires on it, and I'm getting ready to start it. And I go to turn the key, and it's just this whirring sound. And all of a sudden, I start to worry. Is it a solenoid? Is it a starter? Do I need a new battery? Thankful my neighbor came over. He's a very helpful gentleman. And he says, clean your battery cables. And I said, no, they're clean. I don't need to. Yes, this is Brother Butch I'm talking about. And then he hollers at me again, just do it. I'm like, all right, I'll do it, you know. So I take the cables off. I search around for a brush to clean my cables. And they looked fine to me, but I looked for a brush, took my time. I didn't have one, so he had one in his truck. So I'm so thankful for that. I take the cable off, and there's a little bit of corrosion in there, nothing serious. So I connect it, starts right up, and I'm like, whoa, all right, big relief. Now, if I only would have had some better knowledge of the mechanical skills of this lawnmower, it would have saved me from worrying about financial repair. It would have maybe not made me feel so worn out struggling to fix this. And I wouldn't have had to waste my time trying to figure it out. So I'm glad for neighbors that helped me. So today we're going to focus on a need of knowledge of God in our Savior Jesus Christ and the tools he gives us to live a godly life. Peter assures believers the knowledge of God would and will provide all needs to live a godly life, a life of righteousness. So we're going to gain knowledge, remembering those things we are being taught to live for God, and not fall into the worry, the wornness, the wastefulness of this world. So the question is, how can we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Being we're in 2 Peter, that is the last verse in chapter 3, verse 18 that he closes with. Are you wondering when we're going to start reading? Just a minute. The next question we got to ask is, how are we going to get the tools to keep moving and escape the ways of this world? Is everyone in 2 Peter chapter 1? All right, let's get going. This is going to be exciting. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. And we're going to stop right there today, because there's a whole lot in these four verses. And I just want to break them down. And it's really important to focus on who's writing this and who it's being written to. Simon Peter is the author. I can tell that by reading verse 1. And it says who it is. If you want to flip over to chapter 3, verse 1, this is his second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter is talking to us Christians, and he wants to stir our minds up. We might want to think about the day that we first found Jesus at the end of the aisle, or wherever we might have found him. So we know Simon Peter, and it's kind of interesting, and we won't dwell on it too much. He uses his first name, introducing 2 Peter. He also says he's a servant. He's a slave, a bondservant. He decided to Give me a minute. Simon Peter, a servant, which is also a slave, which is a person bought to do service for a master. The first one we need to know is we must know God, and that will grow our knowledge if we know God. And Peter knew God. He was a slave and an apostle. Apostle is one who was sent with divine authority. Peter knew God, and of course we know he's probably the one that was most talked about. And how does he know God? If you continue in verse 1, it is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it talks about being justified in his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And justified simply means being made righteous in God's sight. Redemption is redeemed, to be delivered with a price. You can see that when he calls himself a servant. He was redeemed by the price. And do we know what that price was? Jesus paid the price at Calvary. God sent his only begotten Son. In John 1, chapter 9, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that brings me to the greatest trade I think we've ever known in time. And that greatest trade happened in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we know Peter wants us always to remember to be stable and be established and stirred up in the faith. In verse 1, we know that Peter's writing this. And let's just read in verse 12 through 15, because this is going to put a little better aspect on who and at what time Peter was writing this. Verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. I know we're in church and I know we know a lot of this stuff, but we need to focus on it and gain our knowledge and remember those things that Peter wants us to remember. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So Peter's saying he is bound to go shortly. He is bound to be crucified upside down, as he was shown in the Gospels by Jesus. He's writing to them again with like precious faith, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We'll notice that grace always comes before peace, because we need grace, that unmerited favor, before we can have any peace. And when we are justified, we are made righteous, we have that peace. And you can see that in Romans 5. With God, through our Lord Jesus, is where that peace comes from. This happens when our grace and peace will be multiplied. It will be multiplied to the exponential power of Him. Verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue. Divine power, isn't that something? If we could tap into that power, that we could live a godly life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, you don't have to turn there, and afterwards I can give you the scripture. It tells us what this power is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Just like that faith that was obtained, only by God we can receive that faith. Only by God we can receive this power. This is the same power that God used to raise Jesus, and we have it. Divine power is the power to live a godly life. When folks see you out and about, do they see a life filled with virtue and goodness? We are called to live a life full of glory and goodness. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through sinful desires. We might ask, what is this lust and what are these sinful desires? And I always like to use my Bible, if you haven't noticed, to back up Scripture. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, guess what, passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, God has given us this divine power to overcome the sinful desires that we have. Isn't that amazing to know that God is giving us the tools to succeed in life, the tools to live a godly life? Because through his divine power that he's given us, it pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge. In the last part of verse 3, he has called us to glory and virtue, to live a life worthy of his calling. We have to have high moral standards like Christ. We are called to live a life full of glory and virtue. When we are and seen, is that how people see you? A reflection of Jesus Christ. Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of God? Do we know God personally, intimately, as a best friend? Can we tell him anything and everything that's going on in your life? Know that he already knows every thought, everything that's inside of you. It is our actions and our lifestyles. Are they godly? Are we using these tools? Are we opening up the Word of God that is so powerful and having us have it guide in our life and direct us in the ways we go? And today, I always like to give a little homework assignment. I urge you to go write a note to God, a love letter. It could be something like James wrote in 1:5, just asking for wisdom, asking for knowledge. It could be something to keep you from the lusts of the world, maybe a sinful desire that you're not getting, something you might have to surrender to. Something that will stir us up to the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to remember, as Peter wrote this, shortly before he was passed away, before he was martyred for his faith, to keep this in remembrance of us. Now on Wednesday night, we'll go a little bit deeper through the rest of verses 5 through 11, so if you'd like to read ahead, come up with some comments or some concerns or some questions, feel free to do that. And again, we went through this really quickly tonight, so I hope I didn't jump over anything. If anybody's a little confused, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you have for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for giving us the knowledge, just that we could live our lives for you, full of glory and full of virtue. That we would have our past directed by you, that we would acknowledge you in everything that we do. We love you, and we hope that others can see the love that you have in us, through us, Father. Guide us tonight. Give us a safe travel home. Be with us as you always are. In Jesus' name, amen.